The scripture readings today are from Acts 7, verses 55 through 60, and then to John 14, 1 through 14. Stephen was being sort of attacked by the people in the church, but filled with the Holy Spirit, he gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. "Look," he said, "I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they covered their ears, and with a loud shout, they all rushed together against him. Then they dragged him out of the city and began to stone him. And the witnesses laid their coats at the feet of a young man named Saul. While they were stoning Stephen, he prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he knelt down and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." When he had said this, he died. In John 14, verses 1 through 14, "Do not let our hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places, and if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may also be. And you know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." So ends the reading.
Good morning again. I bring you greetings from the Michigan Conference, United Church of Christ, our conference minister, the Reverend Dr. Campbell Lovett, from the other 14 churches of the United Northern Association, the other 140 or so churches of the Michigan Conference as a whole. It's amazing how we are connected with each other even as we go about our individual work in our particular place where God has placed us. I am very happy to be with you this morning. I've had a chance to be here a number of times, so I'm starting to get to know your faces and this place. It was a beautiful drive up from the Lansing area this morning, so thank you for this gift. And I have heard that Reverend Forrest is doing a good job with you, and I'm glad to hear that. I also know he's ready for retirement soon, so we're happy for that as well, but thank you for all that you do. Will you pray with me? Oh, gracious and loving God, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds, our very spirits, that we might sense whatever it is you have to say to us on this day. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So the community of faith certainly didn't make things easy for Stephen, did they? He sees this amazing vision of the risen Christ sitting at the right hand of God. Now, if he had been up on a mountaintop, you would call this a mystical experience, an amazing happening. In community, however, with other people around, it gets a little messier, doesn't it? In the community, he's stoned to death because his experience was not the same as their experience. This Jesus was a threat. This is, of course, our biblical introduction to Saul, who's convinced that the followers of Christ are misguided and even dangerous in spreading their belief that Jesus was in any way connected with God, and whose name is not yet changed to Paul in the story. Saul's own experience of the risen Christ will change his connection to the followers of Jesus, but that's a later story. Now, the Gospel of John gives us this beautiful and disturbing passage. The Gospel of John elevates human experiences of the risen Christ. For John's community, about 90 years after Jesus' resurrection, experience of Jesus is the way to know God. They're a community of prayer and mystical experience, of seeing Jesus at the right hand of God, of other experiences of the risen Christ leading their lives, guiding their lives. So what do we do in the 21st century with this early belief that somehow God was in Jesus, and if you see Jesus, you see God? If Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, is there no other way to truth and life? Is it true that no one comes to God except through Jesus? Those are tough ones for us, aren't they, a little bit? Or maybe not, but it causes a little dissonance for some folks. Well, a while back, and you may have read this or heard this, Lillian Daniels, a pastor in Illinois, wrote a piece for the UCC Still Speaking devotional. She talks about her boredom with people who exclaim how wonderful it is to experience God in some mountaintop experience. She's a bit irreverent and prophetic, I think. She writes, "On airplanes, I dread the conversation with the person who finds out I'm a minister and wants to use the flight time to explain to me that he is spiritual but not religious. Such a person will always share this as if it is some kind of daring insight, unique to him, bold in its rebellion against the religious status quo. Next thing you know, he's telling me that he finds God in the sunsets." These people always find God in the sunsets. "And in walks on the beach. Sometimes I think these people never leave the beach or the mountains. What with all the communing with God they do on hilltops, hiking trails, and, oh, did I mention the beach at sunset yet? Like people who go to church don't see God in the sunset. Like we are these monastic little hermits who never leave the church building. How lucky we are to have these geniuses inform us that God is in nature, as if we don't hear that in the Psalms and in the creation stories and throughout our deep tradition. Being privately spiritual but not religious just doesn't interest me," she writes. "There's nothing challenging about having deep thoughts all by oneself. What is interesting is doing this work in community, where other people might call you on your stuff, or heaven forbid, disagree with you, where life with God gets rich and provocative is when you dig deeply into a tradition that you did not invent yourself. Thank you for sharing, spiritual but not religious sunset person. You are now comfortably in the norm for self-centered American culture, right smack in the bland majority of people who find ancient religions dull but find themselves uniquely fascinating. I told you she's a little bit fun here. Can I switch seats now and sit next to someone who's been shaped by a mighty cloud of witnesses instead? Can I spend my time talking to someone brave enough to encounter God in a real human community? Because when this flight gets choppy, that's who I want by my side, holding my hand, saying a prayer, and simply putting up with me, just like we try to do in church. Of course, we can all experience God in nature, but where the rubber really meets the road is in community. Where is God when we have different perspectives or disagree? How do we live out our faith in community with others who are trying to do the same thing in a different way? Now that's interesting. That's the UCC. That's the United Church of Christ. And perhaps that is at least part of what the Gospel of John is highlighting for us this morning. It is in connecting with another human being that we come to know God. It is in our work together to bring justice and healing and wholeness to others that opens us to the presence of God in our lives. Jesus is the way to God because he is a human being and he is divine. Jesus is the way to God because in embodying both of these, he suggests that we are actually all human and divine. It is the both and rather than the either or that makes this message both unique and universal. The first witness of Scripture is that God created us in God's image. We are co-creators. The body of Christ in the world today, both human and divine, male and female, we are God's image. Any message, religious message, that splits us apart is taking us away from God. It is all about connection. We need to be connected to our maleness and femaleness, our shadow and our light, our body and our spirit, our sense of justice and mercy, our progressive and conservative leanings, our hope and despair, both grace and works. The witness of John's community is that Jesus made room for all of us. When our lives are done, or maybe sooner, we will find a mansion with many rooms. The Gnostics understood it as God's spark of light in all of us that made us all equal, all brothers and sisters, all connected. If we can't see God in the people, then Jesus says, look at the works themselves. Jesus connected with all sorts of people that the religious authorities, people like me, understood to be unfit for the presence of God. Holiness for Jesus wasn't a condition that we work our way into, but is a condition of our birth. We are all worthy of a place in God's presence. We are all worthy because God's presence is already within us, all of us, no exceptions. Now that's a message that will infuriate people. We are immersed in a culture that thrives on either or, aren't we? We like to think that we're better than those people over there, wherever there is, whoever they are. We don't want to see God in the homeless, or prisoner, or murderer, or abuser, or stranger. Of course, those are exactly the people that our scriptures and tradition and Jesus tell us to connect with, but we try not to read those too seriously. Is that because in seeing God in them, we may actually be able to believe that God is in us. And if God is in us, then our path may be to connect with others and see God in them. Then there really is no male or female, black or white, gay or straight, rich or poor, Republican or Democrat, now we get in trouble, Jew or Muslim, Christian or Buddhist, first world or third world, young or old, worthy or unworthy, those just don't make sense when you experience the God that Jesus Christ was part of and that we're part of. Richard Rohr writes, "Full human life demands some shadow boxing with the shadow side of every reality. If we're not willing to do that, if we want the Republicans or the Democrats to be totally right, now we're meddling again, or America to be perfect, or our religion to be the only proper path, then we are incapable of depth or truth. When everything becomes a sure belonging system instead of a transformational experience, people simply locate themselves inside their little world of shared illusions. The fragile sense of self quickly takes on a sense of identity and power by believing its self-serving illusions. Before we meet our own soul, most identities are socially constructed by our family, our friends, and our culture. We can't help it, that's just the way we were made. But once we find the inner spring within ourselves, that Holy Spirit, we finally begin to see who we really are. Usually that doesn't happen until the second half of life, after experiencing some failure and loss, or loving someone deeply. For example, he writes, look at the transformation of Saul into Paul. Saul was a Pharisee among Pharisees, yet this supposedly righteous man was a murderer of Christians. Saul's encounter on the Damascus Road revealed to him that he was really one with Christ and with all people. When his literal and soul-blindedness was lifted, Saul, now Paul, realized his true identity as a vessel of love. Same man, different perspective. We are connected with one another, all of us. Now that's the kind of message and living that leads to stoning or other forms of death. It's also a message worth living and dying for. Jesus did it. Stephen did it. Paul did it. Many of our ancestors in faith did it. Will we? May it be so. Amen.